Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, saints of the Most High, Yah, hallelujah. Glory to the King. This is Elder Rufus from the Straightway Truth Ministry. Thanking you all for joining me tonight on Blog Talk Radio. This is our weekly segment called the Brothers Segment. You have elders, deacons, teachers that join us periodically weekly. It switches up every week. I think we got like five or six people in a rotation. When it's my turn, the name of my broadcast is called If You Have Questions, The Book Has Answers. And I'm glad that you're with me tonight. Brother Ugly, thank you. K. Roby, thank you. Because I was just about to do a sound check, and you guys are already on it, giving me tens. I'm glad you hear me clearly. Again, for those that are coming in a little late, my name is Elder Rufus. I'm with the Straightway Truth Ministry. You've joined us here on Blog Talk Radio for our Brothers segment, and we're happy to have you here fellowshipping with us. Now, the format of how my broadcasts go is you guys are charged to send in questions. Anybody that is truly connected to this ministry knows that we have just a wellspring and an abundance and a smorgasbord. You use the adjective, okay, of wisdom and knowledge and understanding that through the word, through our pulpit, through YouTube, all kind of different social media apparatuses, okay, Blog Talk Radio. We are overloaded with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. Our shepherd, he does not lack in that area. Neither do the elders, the deacons, teachers. We don't lack in that area. So I know personally that it is impossible to consume and absorb all of what is being taught in this ministry. Hallelujah. So what I hope to bring to the table through this question session and this answering session through the book is great levels of understanding. Because if, like the book says, and all by getting, you need to get an understanding. Why? So you can walk this thing out and you can be a blessing to those that may connect through your righteous living. Hallelujah. Your testimony and your witness, walking it out through your lifestyle. You need to be prepared to deal with the things that are going to come your way. Question-wise, life-wise, situation-wise, you need to have that. So I know with the abundance of information that's being shared through this ministry, you just can't consume it all. I already understand that and know it. So there are things that the Most High may be pricking your heart about that you need greater levels of understanding on. Those are the things that you jot down, right? And you send those questions to me. Now, you have many different ways to send those questions to me. I think the mass majority of you are connected to the Straightway Truth Ministry. So you know how to go on the website, and I believe it's just Straightway. Maybe Brother Uglinum can put that. I always forget what that email is. But we also have all kind of ways to reach me. You can call me directly if you have my number, which most of you do. You can send me a text. You can email me on my personal email. Hallelujah. Then we have a ministry email, which I always forget what that is for me. Maybe someone that knows it can put it here in the chat room, and I'll say it out loud for those that can't see the chat room. It is georgia@straightway.com. Georgia@straightway.com. Since I am the head of Straightway Georgia, it is georgia@straightway.com. And then my personal email is rcarswell44@yahoo.com. rcarswell44@yahoo.com. Hallelujah. So those are the ways you can email me. A lot of you need to take advantage of the Marco Polo. That's a very good avenue for you to reach me. I am on Sons of Jacob, and I am also on Sisters United. Hallelujah. So you sisters can privately polo me messages that you may, or questions that you may have, and you brothers can do the same. I know it's a little difficult because our schedule when it comes to the brothers' broadcast changes. Teacher Shane is over that, and he has liberty to say, hey, this week we need you to do this, elder this, or deacon this, or brother this, right? Or switch it up the next week. So, and he has to have that liberty because our schedules are consistently and constantly changing, y'all. You know, we are being pulled and called to be in different places, and sometimes, you know, the responsibility of the ministry just has us doing something else, and someone else may need to step in on the week that we may be scheduled to do it. Hallelujah. So I appreciate Teacher Shane being in the spirit, hearing from the Father, and directing that avenue for us. And I think it's been maybe 6 or 7 weeks since I've been on. Elder's been busy. The ministry has been busy. All of you know Passover is around the corner. We are a few weeks away from Passover. There is massive preparation that is required of not just Straightway, but all of the communities and assemblies and the homesteads. It is a joint venture that we come together. And actually, I've been a little disappointed. I'm going to go ahead and mention this real quick so we can get it out of the way on the Be a Blessing list. I know that's something we started a few years ago, and it gives the opportunity for people that are on the homesteads and assemblies and things like that to donate things that are going to be needed to take care of all the 900 saints that are going to be coming. See, one thing we don't want is Straightway, the hub, have to put out all of their resources to take care of 900 people anywhere from 7 to 12 days. And then when we leave, they are depleted and have to restock and re-up stuff. No. We should all be contributing into that. And I think the last report I got was that we weren't even like a tenth or a quarter of the way. Now, I know a lot of you are bringing it with you. If you are, you need to communicate that with Straightway. You need to follow the instructions that's been given. I know it gives on Sister to Sister and other avenues, but you need to follow that instructions and get that information so they can chart, okay, you bring in a case of toilet paper, you bring in a case of paper towels, or you bring in spoons, you know, whatever it is you bring in. We need to have it recorded and marked so that we can say, okay, well, we're going to have enough of this. Don't bring any more of this, or we're not getting enough of this. Can you bring this? Hallelujah. So let's keep the team effort going. Let's keep the tribal effort going. All right. So, and I'm not going to harp on that too much. Faithful Israelites never have to actually be told to give. This is one thing you hear Pastor Dalgan on his broadcast, and he talks about it on YouTube all the time, how we don't have collection plates in our assemblies. We don't. Real true Israelites, they know to give. Here, I give them a solid because I'm constantly in and out, moving around. So there are envelopes, just regular, like mailing envelopes, letter envelopes. They can grab one of those, put their offering in there, and write their name on it if they want to. But the majority of them, guess what they do? They just hand it to me just like we do with Pastor Dow, you know. Or they send it to the Cash App, the PayPal, the Zelle. You want to give, believe you me. Nothing is going to stop you from doing what Yah has put on your heart to do. And I'm telling you, the mass majority of our Israelites, I have zero complaints about that. We give. And I believe that's why we are a blessed people, because we understand that it's not about us. It's about getting the work done for the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. It's about being a blessing at all times. It's about being a cheerful giver and a willing servant. And, you know, we just was refreshed of this weeks ago. When you put yourself in that position, now the Messiah can take you out of that position of being a slave and call you a son. And we can speak more about the inheritance that you're going to get. Hallelujah. But your motivation shouldn't be that. Your motivation should be he's that good. He's that worthy. I just want to serve him. Hallelujah. Because he did the ultimate service by giving of his life and dying on that tree for me so that I can be forgiven for all the retarded and wicked and dumb and crazy things that I've ever done in my life, turning my back on him. Hallelujah. Well, I don't want to get started preaching already. Let me stop. Hallelujah. All right. I was sent three questions. Now, I probably was sent more than three. I'm sure some of you, I'm almost positive some of you sent me questions like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. That's very hard for your elder, all right? I get literally thousands of emails, it seems, in a week. And messages, you know, if you send me a Marco Polo 4 weeks ago saying, hey, elder, I want this as a question, more than likely, it's going to be very hard for me to go back 4 weeks and find your question once my time comes up. So the best way is to email it. If you email it to me, then I can put it in a different category and save it, right? So if you can email it to thegeorgia@straightway.com. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to just try to eliminate all the options for you is what I need to do. I need to have you send it to thegeorgia@straightway.com. Georgia@straightway.com. Hallelujah. So for the majority of you, just send it there. I know some of you won't remember that and you'll still send it. That's fine. But if we can maybe centralize where the questions are coming in at, then I'll have an opportunity to maybe not miss a person's question. But the good thing is hey, we in this fight together. We in this walk together. So if the question don't get read this week, it'll get read when I come back in 5 or 6 weeks, whenever it's my time again. Hallelujah. But for right now, all I have is 3 questions that I can remember people sending to me, getting to me. So as of right now, that's what we're going to deal with. And then we'll see what the Most High Yah going to do moving forward. So let's get into it. Let's get into it. Again, I want to thank y'all. I appreciate you guys sacrificing, taking the time out, coming to fellowship with me tonight. I don't take these types of levels and responsibilities lightly. I don't take them for granted. And there's preparation that goes into it. There's meditation and thought and prayer. And at the end of the day, we're accountable for every single thing that we say and also every single thing that comes out of our mouth. And that's why I don't take this lightly. This is just not no hum-ho and let me pull a rabbit out of my hat type of thing. The goal and the desire is to say to you what Yah desires for you to hear. Not my opinions, not my thoughts, not my personal ways. Because you're coming on a spiritual level. You're trying to get and gain spiritual knowledge and wisdom and understanding. So you're seeking Yah. You're not seeking Elder Rufus. Hallelujah. And I fully understand that. So I take this stuff very, very serious. And I desire, my desire, when I'm praying and when I'm talking to the Father, when I'm beseeching him, is to say to you what he desires for you to hear. Now, sometimes you may not like that. That's on you. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Not one thing to do with me. All right? But so that you understand and know where I'm coming from and what my goal is and what my desire is when it comes time for us coming together, fellowship, and hey, I mean, we got people in here from Canada, people in here from over the pond, over in the Europe area, the African areas. I mean, you name it. We have saints all over the world. And I'm grateful that the Father uses avenues like Blog Talk and social media, YouTube, Marco Polo, What's Up apps. I mean, he uses all these things for us to be able to have levels of fellowship, to be able to see each other and hear each other's voices and see each other's families and children and the work that we're doing. I love seeing, like, Brother Carey. Our Brother Carey's down there in them islands, and I love seeing his videos when he posts a video up on Marco Polo. And, you know, we sitting here, and I got 1,000 drill bits, and I see Carey working with a machete. Do you understand what I'm saying? It humbles me, and it encourages me. And watching him do it, you would think that he has all the modern tools. Never hear a word of complaint. Never hear him murmuring. Always hear him upbeat. Him and his wife, because his wife very rarely posts, but when she do, they're always upbeat. They're always excited. You know what I'm saying? You can just tell they're entrenched with the love of Yah. So I use him as an example, but I got hundreds of more examples. I do. My family in Canada, my family in the Philippines, my family in the Netherlands, my family over there in Sweden. We have family everywhere, y'all. And it's encouraging when I get a chance, Australia, when I get a chance to see what the family is doing or hear what the family is doing. So I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful. All right? Hallelujah. All right. Let's get going with these questions. Now, we'll see. You guys, because y'all know how I am, you know. I'm not one of these brothers that get on and press and say, hey, well, I have a 2-hour or 3-hour window. Let me fill it up. No. Again, I want to say to you what y'all want me to say. So we run through these 3 questions, and y'all don't have nothing else. You already know what that means. That means our fellowship for this evening is over, and we'll get together soon next time. A lot of you I'll be seeing in a few weeks at the feast. Cannot wait to see my family. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right, let me get one more sound check before I get going with these questions. Make sure everybody's still online and can still hear me. Not seeing much movement in the chat, which is not a lot anyways, which is fine. But those that can hear me, yep, there we go. All right, Sister Bonnie, bless you, bae. Bless you. Sister Green, K. Roby. Good. I got three. I can roll with that. At least three folk in here. Four, five. All right. Hallelujah. We got plenty. All right. First question, which y'all know how this rolls with questions with saints. They'll say, hey, I got a question. And then guess what? Five questions later, they still asking questions. I love it. I love it. I really do. I always get a chuckle out of that when a saint come up to me and say, hey, Elder, I got a question for you. Inside, I'm laughing because I know you ain't got one question. You finna ask me 25 things. But I love every bit of it. I really do. I do. But here is question number one, which is a two-part question. The question is long hair a sin? And then the second part to that question is that if it is, or is it if it's not, why does the ministry not approve of it? Hallelujah. All right. Is long hair a sin? A sin, a transgression of the law. Understand what they're asking. Is that what long hair on a man, on a male? Long hair on a male. I'm sorry, let me be real specific. Is long hair on a male a sin? Is it a transgression of the law? And then if it is not, why does the ministry not approve of long hair? So most of you already know, we're going to head over to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to the 11th chapter. All right, I'm going to assume that the mass majority of you that are listening to me today are already familiar with this, but we're still going to revisit it because the question was asked. It's been brought up several times in many different assemblies. We don't have this issue or this question brought up in our communities, to my knowledge, because I think the people at the communities already got this level of understanding, but it is being brought up times in our assemblies or like on homesteads, all right? So let's get to the book. Hallelujah. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you know, just starting at the beginning of that, it's really addressing like head coverings and what the women should have, what the men should have, how the man is submitted to Yah and the woman, Yah is man's head, right? The Messiah is the head of man, and the woman and the man is the head of woman. We all understand that part. But let me get right to the part that I think is going to bring about some edification. Hallelujah. Again, don't forget the question. The question is it sin for a man to have long hair or dreads, right? Is it sin? Transgression of the law. Now, I have not been able to find that it is a transgression of the law. I've not been able to find that, okay? But what is said here by the apostle, matter of fact, let's start at verse 13, and we know this is the Apostle Peter talking, Apostle Paul talking, all right? It says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is the man, and the head of Christ is Yah. Verse 14, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. I'm going to go slow so that we can all really get an understanding. So it's telling us clearly, not for context, just start at the beginning of the chapter, you guys. All right? Just start at the beginning of the chapter and read on down to this point. And that statement, having his head covered, dishonors his head, it will make total sense to you. All right? It'll make total sense to you. But you got to do a little homework yourself, too. Hallelujah. But having his head covered, dishonors his head. So any man that has his head covered while he is praying to Yah or prophesying, he will dishonor Yah by having his head covered while he does that. Verse 5, right? Let's see. Am I in the right part? Nope, I'm reading the wrong from where. I went up further. Forgive me, y'all. I want to go down further. I don't want to read right there. I don't want to read there. Y'all know that part, though. I want to go to verse 13. I'm sorry. Yep, stay with me. My bad, y'all. I should have just read all of it to you, but I didn't want to keep y'all like that on something as simple as this. All right, let's go to verse 13. That's where I really want to start at. All right, it says, judging yourselves. See, that's an important statement right there, because I think in Israel, times when we are asking questions or we're looking for answers to things. What's the words we use? We want more clarity. We need more understanding, things like that. When we're honest with ourselves, we're not truly looking for the truth of Yah. What we're looking for is an excuse to do the thing inside our heart that we really want to do. So when the book starts off by telling us to judge yourselves, this is the level that you have to judge yourself by, not by the truth that you have created in your own heart, but by what the book says. That's how you clearly and righteously and truthfully judge yourself. Then it says, judge yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Now, if you've read the scriptures or the text before that, it's clear that a woman should not pray or prophesy without her head uncovered. That is a shame to her head. So she's shaming her husband or her father or whoever the head of her is, because you could have widows that the head of them would be leaders of the assembly. Hallelujah. But if a woman decides to pray and prophesy without her head uncovered, it clearly said in the text before this that that would be a shame to her head. Hallelujah. So when it asks you this question, first it puts in your mind, judge in yourselves. Like, judge yourself first and foremost. Then it asks you a question, is it comely that a woman pray unto Yah uncovered? And we know the answer to that is no. It is not comely. All right, verse 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? All right? Then it says, but if a woman having long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Hallelujah. Then it also says this, and I got to read this part. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such customs, neither of the assemblies of Yah. See, what it's saying, for you can get a real true understanding, we don't need to be contentious about this. One thing about the Most High, he never goes past a man's personal thoughts or convictions. He puts truth. He puts understanding. He puts wisdom and knowledge out there. It's actually up to us as saints to grab a hold of that. Actually up to us as saints to grab a hold of that and do something with it. He is not going to be like the devil and put this enormous pressure on you to get you to do something outside of your own personal will. See, the devil plays up to your lustful desires, the things you lust after. And a lot of times people hear lust, they think sexual, but lust is just a grand, great desire, overwhelming desire. That's the best way for you to get it right now on a base level, right? So that's the stuff the devil plays up to you on, you know, submitting thoughts to your head, putting things before your eyes and your ears. You see what I'm saying? To get you to go after the things you know that may not be good for you. That's not how he works. All right, so it doesn't need to be something that's going to be contentious. If a man in his heart saying, look, I believe I can keep my long hair, I believe I can keep my dreads, you're not going to get us to argue with you. And we have brothers in the faith right now that are, I think they may be on communities or around communities or getting close to being, they got dreads. They have hair that will be considered long. They'll come into the knowledge of that truth. They will. But the reason that the ministry, because the second part of the question is, why does the ministry not approve of it? Well, you just saw it right there in verse 14. It says, does not even nature itself teach you? Nature itself teaches you. Well, who's responsible for nature? Is that not Yah? So the apostle's telling you, you could just look at nature and it will teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a shame to him. So why would we promote or approve any type of thing, any type of behavior for a man who's supposed to be the head and leading, right, of his home, of his assembly, whatever the case may be? Why would we approve of anything like that when the book clearly tells us it is a shame? what type of leadership would we be to say, oh, we know the book says a shame, but go ahead, bro. We know you like that. Is that making sense? You understanding what I'm saying? So to answer the second part, why does the ministry not approve of it? Because the book is clear that it is a shame. And even nature itself teaches you that. Now, some will say, well, I ain't learned it from nature. Well, you got a ways to go. You got a ways to go then. All right? You got a ways to go. And I have seen, like, women, sisters, try to take this and use it as an avenue to not cover their actual head. Because they'll read this and they'll say, well, the hair is given for a covering. That is my covering. My hair is my covering. That's not what that is saying. Remember, you were made from man. Man was made in the image and likeness of Yah. That's why we shouldn't be covering our head, right? When he's looking down on what he created and made that in his image, he don't want that covered. But you covering your head in an act of submission, it's a glory to you. It's a glory to the man that you are submitted yourself to. And it also shows your act of submission to those individual men and to Yah. And it's telling you clearly here in the book that you shouldn't be praying and prophesying with your head uncovered. You don't have the same level of access to Yah that your husband have on that type of level is what I'm saying. Can you pray to Yah like he do? Absolutely. No doubt. I'm not saying that. But in the respect of order, you can't come. See, we should have our head uncovered because we're made in his image and likeness. You were made from us. You were made for us. And there's a difference. And if you read all of this chapter, it breaks that down. But to simply answer the question, is it a sin? Was it a transgression of the law? I didn't find that. The second question was, well, if it's not, why does the ministry disapprove of it? Well, we're showing you here now. We wouldn't approve of anything that's going to shame anybody, honestly, let alone the heads of our families and the heads of our assemblies and things of that magnitude, being men. Hallelujah. So hopefully we got understanding on that question. Let me flip back and make sure I didn't miss nothing in the chat room. All right. Y'all forgive me on that first part. I was finna read all of it to y'all. But I want y'all to go back and do that. And see, that's the thing that I like to do too when we are engaged in fellowship is give you an opportunity to be like the Bereans. You can get a chance to go back and search and thump the scriptures for yourself. Because I can guarantee you can get answers from me, you can get answers from any of the elders, any of the pastors, any of it, right? But when you yourself go to Yah and you press him for answers and he gives you some understanding on it, there's nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. Hallelujah. Nothing like that at all. So over to the King. Can we ask questions? Now, you can. Yes, you can. Brother Mike Fleming, you can ask questions now, yes. So, and I will put them in line with the rest of them. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Let's go to the second question. All right. Let's go to the second question. And the second question is, when should we pray Psalms 109? When should we pray Psalms 109? I know a lot of times you guys see and hear, not a lot, but you hear and see different times where leadership has instructed you, mainly Pastor Dow, has instructed you that now it's time for us to pray Psalms 109. The actual question is, when is it appropriate? All right? They're asking, when is it appropriate to do this? And if you know anything about the scriptures, they actually answer themselves. All right, they actually answer themselves. So for those that want the true answer to this, let's go over to Psalms 109 and let's see what it says. Hallelujah. Psalms 109, let's see what it says. And y'all know the first verse, talking about being the chief musician, a psalm of David. Hallelujah. And it starts off, this is Psalms 109. I'm going to start right at verse 1. I think I'm going to read through verse 5. And I think we'll have our answer. Again, don't forget, the question is, when should we pray Psalms 109? Let's get it. All right, verse 1. Hold not, O Yah, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. All right. Verse 3. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. All right. So if you're reading this, I think this is very, very clear when it's appropriate to start to pray, because it says in verse 4, but I give myself to prayer. My love has turned them into my adversaries. That's critical, y'all. That's critical. You don't just go start praying Psalms 109 for somebody that you haven't loved. See, verse 4 says, for my love, they are my adversaries now. So they have rejected the love I'm trying to give them and show them and truly become my adversaries. They've literally fought against me without a cause. I'm actually for them because I love them and I'm trying to instruct them in the ways of Yah, and they're fighting against me. They've surrounded me with words of hatred, speak against me with a lying tongue. Their mouth is wicked, y'all, and their mouth is deceitful. I think we just got our answer, right? If someone comes with a wicked mouth and a deceitful mouth against you, and when they start to speak with a lying tongue against you, this is someone, don't forget, this is someone that you have loved. Because it says there in verse 4, for my love, because you loving these individuals. But they, because you love them, like Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? For my love, now they have become my adversaries. And then they try to just absorb me and surround me with these words of hatred. Stay around, don't be around, don't associate with, don't spend no time with, don't feel obligated to nobody that vexes your spirit. I don't care what their title is in your life. I don't. Keep your peace. Remove yourself from individuals like this. And a lot of times people come into the faith and they have this hard time, especially with family members, so-called family members. They're wicked. They're heathens. They're carnal in thought. They're evil in spirit. They're wicked in thought and mind because they got a title. Mama, daddy, brother, sister, auntie, uncle, grandma, grandbaby. It doesn't matter. You feel obligated even though they take away your peace. Hold not thy peace. They got a wicked mouth and a deceitful mouth towards you. They lie on you all the time. The words that are surrounded with them with you is hatred. They fighting you, flat out fighting against you in every way, shape, fashion, or form. For what cause? You not attacking them. You not coming at them. You not tearing down their little world. But because you're righteous and you love them and you live in holy, and that's a testimony against them, against their wicked lifestyle, now they've made themselves your adversary and they've rejected your love. So then you give yourself over to prayer. Hallelujah. Ain't that what verse 4 tells you to do? And then from 5 on down, it tells you how to pray. And that's when you invoke Psalms 109. I pray that brings understanding. Because I think a lot of times people can say, well, I'm in a little debate or I'm in a little argument. Or no, that's not what the scriptures just said. That's not what the scriptures just said. That's not what it just said. Hallelujah. That's not what it just said. You have to be specific. And they have to fit the criteria that Psalms 109 from the first verse through the fourth and fifth verse is talking about. Hallelujah. Now, once you got someone in that mode and you can tell they're not letting up, then you start praying this. Now, again, so that you can be a Berean, you need to read the rest of Psalms 109 and keep your prayer in context. See, turning over someone's flesh, the goal should be so that their soul can be saved. You're not trying to destroy their soul, but you're trying to destroy the flesh that they're functioning and they're operating in the hopes that maybe their soul can be saved in the end. That they haven't fully been turned over to a reprobate mind. Hallelujah. Again, all this is generated by love, though, y'all. Remember verse 4. It's all generated by love. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right. So I think we got those first three questions answered. Hallelujah. Man, let's do this. How long have we been rolling? Long? We've been 42 minutes already? Ooh, time be flying, y'all. Let's do this, because I think a brother put a question in here, and it looks kind of long, so I'm going to go to a quick little break. Since we've been rolling almost close to an hour, we'll go to a quick break. Let me see if I can even navigate my way through this to find, I like to use the ministry information, because there may be new people listening that say, hey, man, I want to support, and they need that information. So hopefully it's the newest one. If not, Brother Ugly, please put the correct information in there, because I think on the old one the address is wrong. Hopefully they got that updated. But we'll take a short break. I'll look at this brother's question and see if we're going to address it this week. And I still have more questions to deal with when we get back. All right? We'll be back soon.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Straightway Truth Ministry, 641 Highway 52, Bypass West, number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. Again, our mailing address is Straightway Truth Ministry, 641 Highway 52, Bypass West, number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word Straightway, and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. Straightway is spelled straightway.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
All right, shalom, shalom, shalom. Saints of the Most High Yah, welcome back to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Elder Rufus from the Straightway Truth Ministry. I'm your host tonight. The name of the broadcast is If You Have Questions, The Book Has Answers. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining me. If you came in late, we've had questions submitted throughout the weeks by saints. And I'm doing my best job to use the book and answer those questions for our beloved family. Hallelujah. As simple as that. The book is really clear in all thy getting. You need to get an understanding. So that is the goal of this fellowship that we are having this evening. So, Brother Mike, I think it was Brother Mike Fleming, you asked a question about Acts chapter 4. Very good question. All right, I'm going to go ahead and read Brother Mike's question. I'm going to read his statement, I should say, and then I'm going to read his question. And then we're going to dive into the answer to it. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Praise Yah. I definitely love questions like this because we need this level of understanding if we're going to move forward in the Most High Yah, especially in the manner we should, being tribal, being Hebrew Israelites, and understanding our heritage and our culture and the way that it should flow and work. Hallelujah. All right, he starts off by saying in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, and he's reading from a King James Version, and it says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." Hallelujah. So he says, so the assembly had all things in common. Nobody called anything their own. However, Israelites, we keep the 10th commandment, which states, and here's the 10th commandment. He went to Exodus, that's chapter 20, verse 17, and it says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Hallelujah. Everybody got that, right? All right. So then he says, so we don't call anything our own, but we still have our property according to this commandment. So how would you evaluate this? So I think it's more of a technicality, right? And I think it's more of understanding a spiritual mindset of why we can say and believe in our heart that we have nothing that we call our own, but at the same time still have property and possessions. The way this world is set up, you have to, like, we have vehicles, we have lands, we have homes, right? They have to be in the name of someone. Now, honestly, if you guys have been paying close attention to the ministry, we are actually moving in a direction where we can actually even eliminate that, where none of the cars, none of the lands, none of the homes, none of the infrastructure will be in the name of any individual saints. Most of you that are following us closely know that we are really fast moving. This world we'll call the private, all right? And so with the, what do you call them, not the trust, but the Man, that thing just escaped my mind, what we call it. But we have accounts and trusts set up, right, so that all of this goes into that, okay? It goes in foundations. I'm sorry, there it is. It goes into our foundations, and these are private foundations. So you've been, if you're listening close, you've been hearing Pastor Dow. I don't own nothing. I don't own nothing anymore. I don't own nothing anymore. And believe me, it's a refresher to us in leadership. Communities, if you're the leader, almost everything typically in the beginning has to go in your name. But now because we have the foundation set up, now everything can go into the name of the foundation, and the foundation belongs to the Israelite heritage of Straightway. Hallelujah. No matter what the foundations are out there. But even before we get to the foundations, you can still keep what the scriptures say, right? Because when you look at the commandment, and it's instructing us not to covet these things, right? Just because your neighbor has a home doesn't necessarily make it his home, okay? I have a home here that my family lives in. But say a saint comes and they have a greater need for rooms in my home, right? Guess what happens? We make provisions, we stack up like sardines, and they get those rooms. So is it actually mine, or does it also belong to the saints that the provision was made to take care of them? All right? Now, when you're coveting, you know, that's when you're taking it to a sinful, evil level. All right? That's when your desire and your lust start to overtake you. And you desire something that probably isn't a need for you. You know, when it says back in Acts where he talked in Acts 4:32, how we have all things common, right? All things common does not mean you have all the same things. Because if you keep reading, it talks about how it's that you sell all your possessions, you bring the proceeds to the man of Yah, and then it's his job to distribute as each saint has need, okay? That's how you have all things common, because everybody needs are met, okay? It doesn't mean we all have the exact same stuff, because we don't all need the exact same stuff. If a man has 3-4 wives and 7-8 children, that man would have more needs than a single brother. That, and I'm giving you tangible examples of how we shouldn't be, right? But what if that single brother who has a 15-by-15 room, right? More than enough to take care of all the needs that he has, right? And kind of Teacher Shane talked about this a little bit yesterday in his message about our elections and our calling. See, we got to be able to accept these things. So his calling is for his strength, right? To go out and help and build up Israel right now. That man that has 4 wives and 7 children and big family, he may be 55, 60 years old. He's needed for his wisdom, right? But to accommodate his family, we may need 2 homes, 3 homes, right? Does the brother that's just him, doesn't have a wife yet, doesn't have any children or family yet, he's just in a position and a part of a calling to help build up Israel, right? Physically build it up, go out and make money, learn trades, build it up, build the infrastructure. If that's the calling on him, but he's looking at 50-something, 60-year-old man saying, well, man, he got this wife. Why can't I have a wife? And he got 3 homes, and I just got a room, and blah, 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 blah. Well, at the end of the day, the needs of that man is different than the needs of the other man. And you start to get into levels of covetousness, right? When you look upon gazing and you look upon it with a evil desire, thinking that, okay, because I'm doing this and I'm doing this, I deserve what he has. No, you don't. The wrong mindset. And see, the proper mindset, like the book talks about, nobody has nothing that they call their own. That brings about a high level of contentment. You're content with such things that you have. So the man that is, what did Teacher Shane use? I want to use the same example he used yesterday. That's charged to polish the doorknobs. I'll use that example. I like that example you used. If you charge to polish the doorknobs and it's just you, how much room do you need? You don't need a big home. You don't need, three houses or whatever. You see what I'm saying? Now, as that man grows and say he does take on a wife and he does start a family, as he grows, his needs grow and the ministry takes care of it. The assembly, the tribe, whatever you want to call it, they take care of that. We got a living example of that here. I had a brother that's been a faithful brother. He was content in a 9x12 room. And at times he shared it. Never a complaint. Went out, worked hard, listened to the instruction, did it all right? But then it comes time, he's in his mid-30s, and he got the googly eyes for one of my daughters, right? And I see the googly eye between the daughter and him, and I'm like, look at here. Okay. So fast forward this thing. These two are now betrothed. Now, the daughter, because y'all know how we come to the faith. We come with things from the world and everything. So this daughter, she's already got children. So this brother, he's got no problem following what the book said in the Apocrypha by being a father to the children more than a husband to the wife. He ain't got no problem following that. So the whole thing I'm looking at seeing is all righteous. Everybody's heart and mind is right. So guess what we do? We take a building that was made just to house saints in three different levels, and we convert that whole building into a home for them. If some of y'all have been watching, if you go to my YouTube channel, you see the building we used to call our ABC building. It's just now been converted to a small home. And guess what happens? They'll come together, and guess what? They'll probably have children. Guess what we're going to end up doing? Adding on to that because we have room to do it. We have room to move it out and over. We got room to do it. We really do. That's how you have the all things common. That's how you have the same heart, the same soul, the same mind. It doesn't mean you get the same things. It doesn't mean everybody has the same amount of stuff because everybody don't need the same amount of stuff. Everybody don't have the same level of responsibility. But you can have things that would be technically considered your property, but it's not. Case in point, some of you saw Elder Mitchell's video here recently. He did a couple weeks ago. And he came here to visit us, and he was talking about a need that they had in Kentucky. And he's like, man, I got to get more vehicles. We got these big families coming. I don't have vehicles to carry them around when they got 4 and 5, people in the family. They got 2, 3 children. I need 3-seaters. I need this. I need that. And I'm like, wow, I got the vehicle right there. Now, we had just bought the vehicle. Y'all, we hadn't had that vehicle 6 months. But because the way we were blessed here, and I heard the greater need in Kentucky, right? I said, you know what? Even though we're using that, you would use it greater than we would, Elder. Because we got other things we can substitute for it. So you know what? Instead of you going out and buying a vehicle at all these high prices that COVID done caused, the market to go crazy, and you got to pay double for this and triple for that, here's the title. Here's the keys. You can have it. You take it. Now, technically, the vehicle's in my name, right? Now it's in Elder's name. But do you think it belongs to me? Does it belong to Elder? No. The greater need is who it belongs to. This is the mindset that we need to have as Israelites. This is that Acts 4 mindset, you guys. And I'm not sitting back. He wasn't sitting back coveting saying, man, Elder, you got 3 full-size SUVs here. I should get one. He wasn't doing that. He was like, Elder, you got expertise in cars. Help me find one. And I'm like, ain't no need to help you go out and spend no money. You keep that money for material. You keep that money for the saints. Here's one you can have. It's already paid for. And it was a full-size Toyota Sequoia, 3 levels of seats. He said it's been a blessing for them. And you know what? Kentucky's getting much greater use and service out of that vehicle for the Saints than we were, because they're using it daily. We were only using it maybe weekly, maybe monthly. You understand what I'm saying? Is the mindset we have to have. That's that not coveting. See, you can also covet things you have. See, if I'm a selfish man coveting the possessions that I think are mine, I don't have a mindset to say to the elder, take that vehicle. Because I'm coveting it. I want it for me. It's not mine. It belongs to Israel. It is a tool. It is a resource for Israel. So wherever the greater need is, that's where it goes. That's how you have this mindset and not walk in this covetous spirit. Now, is it anything wrong with a young man, because I want to go right with the scriptures, desiring to have a house one day? No. Desiring to have a family, a wife, desiring to have handmaids and mates? No. Is any of that? No. But it cannot dip over into covetousness, where that's what consumes your heart and your mind, and it drives you, and it gives you these weird and crazy and evil thoughts that because my brother has this, right, because my neighbor, I know it says neighbor's house, but who are your neighbors in Israel? It should be your brethren. So I'm looking at my brethren, and he got all this stuff, and now I want it, but I really don't have a need for it. I really don't have a need for it. I see having all things common. If my family built up, believe me, that brother's going to love me enough to make sure that those needs are taken care of and provided for. And then in the actual physical, that's why we're starting foundations. All of these assemblies will have foundations, private foundations, not public, private. And all the possessions of these assemblies will go into the foundations. So then a man won't be able to say, well, my name on it, I own it, I can do what I want to with it. Nope. See, when you go back, let's go back to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. The main thing is the mindset change of the people, y'all. Their minds changed. So that means their hearts changed. And this is why they were able to get to a point where they thought and said in their minds, they have nothing that they call their own. We have all things common. They knew, even though it's mine and it's in my possession, it don't belong to me anymore. It belongs to Christ. If he can do whatever he wants with it, and he can distribute it however he wants. Because these people went out and sold their lands and possessions, but where did they live, y'all? People act like these were other things they had. They still had to have some place to stay. But they understood that what was theirs became Israel's. And whatever the need was, it's up to the men of Yah to show them and to dictate and to direct them on how to facilitate those needs to the people. If you a man and you got a big old 3,000 square foot home and you living by yourself, y'all remember Pastor Dow said he went to Houston and saw Brother Greg and Elder Mitchell when they were just brothers in the faith, right? And they was living in this big old house, just them two. He said, this is an abomination. All this stuff y'all got around, And they got it. They understood. And guess what them brothers started doing? They got rid of that house. They sold their motorcycle. All this stuff that was just toys in the world that meant something to them, but it didn't have no value for Israel. They sold that stuff, pooled that money, and guess what they got now? They got 85 acres. No, 91 acres. And guess who possessed that? The Saints. It belongs to not just Elder Mitchell, not just Brother Greg, not just Brother Desmond. I'm talking about all these brothers that took all their resources, put it in one big pot, and purchase something that belongs to all the Saints. It's just like all the lands we got here, Straightway, Georgia. They don't belong to Elder Rufus. These lands, these infrastructures, these vehicles, it belongs to the Saints. And not just the Saints of Georgia, as you can see by my example with Elder Mitchell. Hallelujah. So I pray that that brings about some understanding to where we understand that we don't have to dip over into covetousness. And just because the King James Version uses words that we are familiar with so that we can have understanding, just because, like, if you come here and you see that this land and house got my name on it, don't be offended by that. that doesn't mean it belongs to me. And see, my confession and what's in my heart, that's what matters mostly to Yah. He is the one that goes and judges and takes the reign on our hearts. He does that. He judges the intent of our heart. And he knows, I don't care nothing about all this because I already know. Ain't none of this going to the kingdom with us, y'all. Thing we can see with our eyes is temporal. I get that. You should get that. So that's how we have a oneness. And this is how we can come together and build it faster than one individual saying, well, it's mine and I got to do it. It's going to take you forever and you ain't going to never get it done because the moth going to come in and get your stuff because it belongs to you and it doesn't belong to Yah. It's all been turned over to him for his service. And it's neat. And Pastor Dow is the main one we watch. I have watched Pastor Dow do this with every community, every single one of them. It ain't been one that he has not poured into, given to, sown into to show them that it's an all things common thing. Now, I have a pot here, right, that takes care of the community. I know Elder Mitchell has a pot. I know Brother Daniel has a pot in Indiana. Brother Kabir has a pot. Pastor Dow has a pot, right? Pastor Corey has a pot. I know this. But guess what? It's really only one pot. It's really only one pot. Because Pastor Dow can call any time and say, I need this, I need this, I need this. And every single person I just named to you, and even more, right? Every single one is going to give Pastor whatever he says because that's going to be for the greater good. That is going to be for the greater good of Israel. It's not theirs. It doesn't belong to them. We just went up and had meetings in Wisconsin at Brother Kabir's place, right? Now, we call it Brother Kabir's place, but do you think it belongs to Brother Kabir? That mansion don't belong to him anymore. That belongs to Israel. That belongs to the saints. If it didn't, why would it be up for sale? Why would they be looking for land, looking to move? You see what I'm saying? It ain't Kabir. Now, we call it that from familiarity so everybody can understand, but that place belongs to Israel. And guess what? Whenever Israel has a need, that place is available. We had a need for a meeting to house all the people. That was the best place to do it. Guess what we did it at? Up there. And they were more than accommodating. But it don't belong to Kabir. And it doesn't matter the most expensive home in Israel and the cheapest home in Israel. Doesn't matter. Wherever the need is, it goes to that individual. That individuals or individuals get to use that resource. Because guess what? These little trailers and huts we're building and little bitty hoop houses or whatever you want to call them, ain't none of them going to the kingdom. This all temporary dwelling, y'all. So we use this stuff while we work on our salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. I pray that makes sense. I think it do. I think we got a good understanding of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right. Let's move forward. Good question, my brother. Good question. Let's move forward to the next question. And the next question is, I think it's multifaceted as well. It says, how can I, this is a young man answering this question. He said, how can I as a head of my household, keep my ears more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Then he also asks, and get free from all the self-condemnation and the accusing spirits of the devil. Because y'all know the devil is looking for an opportunity to accuse you before the Most High. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to recommend books for anybody that's dealing with this type of thing. If you are in a position where you feel like you need to get closer to the Most High, right? There's three things you need to do. First, you have to humble yourself. And how does that look? Humbling yourself before the Most High is coming to him in a manner where you truly believe. You're not just saying it with your mouth, but you really truly believe in your heart. Can't do anything without him. You actually know nothing. Now, a lot of us will say that. we will say, man, I don't know shit. I'm going to shut my mouth, but we don't. Because inside, all of that worldly carnal knowledge that you got is bubbling up in you, and you don't have self-control, meaning you can't control or bridle. The Bible says bridle that tongue. You can't do it. So in turn, there's no levels of humility in you because you cannot exercise self-control and you cannot bridle your tongue. Why? Because you think you know something. Here it is. Paul grew up a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So he grew up in this law, y'all. And when it came time for him to have his experience on that Damascus Road with the Most High, what happened? The first thing you had to do was blind his physical eyes. Not only to show him physically he couldn't see, but spiritually he couldn't see. And he had to forget all of those years or decades of training that he had being a Pharisee. And he had to be taught by true Hebrews how to really truly be the Hebrew that he was. Hallelujah. That takes a level of humility. Because his education went well past all of those guys. But do you think his education meant anything when it came to fencing and levying out the truth of the Most High from Yah's perspective, from a Hebraic perspective, a true Israelite perspective? Uh-uh. He had to be taught. Some of you are not teachable because you cannot humble your spirit enough to be taught. You think you know something, but you don't. Second thing, you have to be willing to submit yourself. And in the process of submitting yourself, you have to believe the instructions that's being given to you, whether it be given to you from man, whether you read it in the book. See, there are things that when I read the book, I may not have a full understanding on when I read it. But because I trust the book and I trust the spirit behind the book, I believe it before I even get understanding on it. I go into it knowing that, okay, in due season, whenever you deem ready, not when I think, whenever you deem ready, Yah, you'll give me the full understanding of that. You'll give me the wisdom or the knowledge needed to apply that. You'll do it. But you got to go into it with a submitted heart and a believing heart. See, if some of us are honest, we don't believe. We question, challenge. We need further clarity. And Teacher Shane even touched on this. We over in the Christian, nothing. You didn't question a thing. You didn't question nothing when you would sit there being fed lies by the devil and that false religion. But now you come to the knowledge of the truth. You start being around people that's walking this thing out and showing you they can on a daily basis, now you got questions. Now you lack understanding. Now you need clarity. Why? What's wrong with your humble self, humble heart? What's wrong with you just submitting and accepting? See, you got to have the ability to be able to discern what's going on with the individual dispensing information to you. Pastor Dow, I tell you all this stuff all the time. I'm great when I'm rebuking and correcting everybody else. You love every single thing I say until I get to your door. But now all of a sudden, I done missed the mark. I was batting 1,000 until I got to you. No, I'm still batting 1,000. You got to humble yourself. That's what you got to do. Then you need to submit yourself and get your heart to a point where you can actually believe the things that's being said, because the person that's delivering this or the word that's coming to you is to edify you, is to uplift you, is to encourage you. Now, in the process of doing all that, sometimes you got to be broken down because you got to see the ugliness in you. You got to be able to see how ugly and how bad, how much of a menstrual rag you actually are in your thoughts, in your deeds, in your actions. Then y'all say, that's something I can deal with. He's the potter and we're the clay. Has anybody ever watched the clay on a wheel? How good did that look, that lump? It looks like a lump of nothing. But when he adds some friction to it, and a little precision and a little water, and he starts shaping and he starts molding, don't that thing come to life? Girl, you want to be that lump of clay, but you telling Yah, don't add no water to me. I don't need no water. But that water is life. It's breath. It's the living water that you need to be shaped and molded in this thing so that you can be triumphant and you can have testimony over your adversary, the devil, who wants your soul. He wants you in the same place he in, going to a living, burning hell. And he ain't going to be happy until you confess it with your mouth, meaning you're not confessing Yah, confessing him. So you got to humble yourself, and you got to submit yourself in belief. We're not robots. Yah doesn't want robots. Well, I'll just do what you say because you have a title. That's not what he wants. He loves the cheerful giver. Understand that you're given because he's perfect, and what he's done is anointed people to help lead you in this situation, to show you, to instruct you. Then he has his spirit that will lead and guide you to all truth. But you got to believe that his spirit will do it. Jesus promised it to you. He told you it'll be comforting to you. But if you are trying to figure it out yourself and you step into the party with your ABC 123 mindset, you're going to stay in the state that you're in. And then the third thing you got to do is you got to start confessing it with your mouth and through your prayers. See, the prayers of the righteous, that's what availeth much. How are you going to be righteous and you can't humble yourself? How are you going to be righteous and you cannot submit? You don't have an actual true belief in the things that you're hearing and the things that you're seeing and the things that you're reading. You question it all. And you say, well, Elder, how do I get to a point where I can humble myself and submit myself and start confessing these things through my prayers? Well, this is what these recommendations of these books is going to do for you. Because you need to start basic. I mean, the book itself should do it. There are certain books that can kind of guide you. Because I'm going to use the experiences that I have to help you. I remember going to the Father in prayer. And I told the Father, I want to learn your law. When I understood how important his law was, not just his commandments, his full law, I really wanted to learn his law. Now, mind you, I'm an open book. I'm submitted. I believe. So he can tell me whatever. But in the back of my mind, I still thought, well, he's going to lead me to the first five books of the Bible. That's the law. I should read it, meditate on it, blah, 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 blah. That's my own carnal, worldly understanding. But my heart, my spirit was open to whatever he wanted to tell me. So when he said, go to Psalms, I'm like, okay. I got a surface level understanding what the Psalms mean. I'll go to Psalms. And guess what happened, y'all? In reading the Psalms, I start seeing how much David loved the law of the Most High Yah. And his passion and fervor and dedication and his willing servitude to the law made me start falling in love with it. And I'm like, man, that is intimate. That is personal. That is real. And then in the process of reading and studying the Psalms, I'm falling in love because David's in love. And then y'all say, now I can start depositing in you. And all the things, because, you know, read the Bible how many times? I've read the law. Didn't have great understanding, but I read it, and I read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again. Why? I read it with belief that I'm going to get it one day. One day you'll give it to me. And then as I'm reading the Psalms, all the stuff I read, he started depositing back in me, showing me what it really truly meant. This is what I was talking about. And David was expressing it in them Psalms, in them Psalms. Man, I cried. I bawled. Tears galore. Did this for years. So you got to have this level of conversation and prayer with Yah, but you also got to have this level of submission to him in belief. Your submission has to be in belief. Some folks submit, but they don't believe. They have ulterior motives of why they're submitting. But I'll do it because I know you're going to do this for me. Nope, that don't work with Yah. I submitted in belief with zero expectations except those that he promised me. Let's see, that's another part of your belief. This book is full of promises. You have to believe those promises, though. So here's the books I'm going to recommend you start with. Of course, the book of Psalms. You're going to definitely need to go read that because you're going to need to learn how to praise him. You're going to need to know how to worship him in spirit and truth. And you're going to need to know how to humble yourself. Psalms can help you with that. Secondly, read the book of Proverbs. That can give you wisdom. That can give you understanding. That can give you guidance. And that can chin check your tail too. Because most prideful men need to be chin checked. That'll help you bridle that wicked tongue you got. Most people are in trouble because of their mouth. They can't control their mouth. They can't control their emotions. So when they take the lead unrighteously, Yah has to let them go through that. Then he sent a righteous man to wipe your ass for you because you're going to shit on yourself. Humble thyself. Submit thyself. Confess through prayer. Hallelujah. Next book I'm going to recommend is the book of James. More instruction. Pinpoint wisdom and instruction. More clarity for you. And the next book I'm going to recommend is in the Apocrypha, Sirach. So if you're trying to have, as a leader in your home, this level of sensitivity, this intimacy, this closeness with Yah, where you can hear him things first, you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to submit through belief, and you're going to have to confess in your prayers. Then the book is clear. If you don't understand this, ask Yah. Ask Yah. Ask Yah. He'll tell you. He'll show you. Hallelujah. Psalms, Proverbs, James, Sirach. Those will bless you. Now, specifically in Psalms, ones that really truly bless me and encourage me and pump me up and get me going, Psalms 119, of course. Y'all know that's one of my favorite. And Psalm 74. Because you got to know how to believe in Yah. You got to know that in times of adversity, he's still there. He's with you. It's a trial and a test you're going through. Now, he didn't put you through it, but it's a trial and a test you're going through, but he's still there with you. He's still there with you. And you have to believe that. And the promises that we were speaking on just yesterday in service, you're predestined to all of this. You got to believe that. So all the issues and all the problems and all the trials you go through, praise him through it. Praise him through it. But keep your belief right there on him. And get engaged in the war. Because I know you got the devil coming at you with self-condemnation. Why? Because you screw up. That's fine. But you have an advocate when you sin. What does he have? See, you have to engage in fighting with the devil just like he engaged with you. He puts a dumb statement in your head trying to condemn yourself. Say that back to him. Well, you're right. It does tell you to agree with your adversary quickly, right? Don't the book tell you that? So you tell the devil, yeah, you're right, I did do that. But guess what? I can be forgiven for that, and I'm going to be forgiven. And then you just quote the word to him. Keep doing that every single time he comes. Watch how often he don't come no more. There's not too many folk that want to get into a fight when they can see the individual standing there waiting for you to come. Most people, punks, they suckers. They want to sneak up behind you, push you down, hit you in the back of your head and run. Come with a different level when that person then girded up their loins and they standing there waiting on you. Come on, bring it. And telling you, bring the fight. Let's do it. That's a little different mindset. Then most people, guess what they want? Conditions of peace. Now, not that the House of Time won't conditions of peace, but he ain't finna try to get into no full-fledged fight like that. And I'm not telling you to physically fight him. I'm talking about hit him back with that word. Talk back to him like he got them wicked spirits talking to you. But don't let the speech be your speech. Let the speech be the Psalms. Let the speech be the Proverbs. Let the speech be James, Sirach. Hallelujah. Most of the time, in our actions, we are the ones that are giving occasion to the adversary to start speaking reproachfully about us. You know how the book talks about that, that the adversary, he's looking for an opportunity. I think it's said something about with the women in there. You know, when you're instructing the women, you teach them how to love their husband and guide their homes. Why? So that you don't give the devil, you don't give the adversary an occasion to come reproachfully about you. It's the same for all of us. Take away his occasion. Take away his opportunity. Walk holy. Walk righteous. How do I do that? Stay in the love of Yah. Keep your heart, keep your mind on Yah. I don't think about nothing but Israel, y'all. I don't. People say, I got these goals, I want to achieve this. I don't have no individual personal goals. Now, some may disagree with that. Man, you got to have goals, but I have things that I know I need to get accomplished for the community. I have things I know I got to get accomplished for Israel. I have things I know I have to get accomplished for my personal family. But my own personal goals, I don't have them. My only goal I have is to please Yah daily. When he lay me down to rest and we talk and I'm meditating on his word and I'm communing with him, I want him to be pleased with the work I put in that day, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, emotional, mental. I want him to be pleased with the effort I gave him. And if not, I want him to correct me so that I don't do the same dumb crap the next day. Folks say, what's your goals, Elder? Please, Yah. And I do that with a reverent fear for him and trembling the whole way, because he's the one that has the power of life and the power of death. And it's amazing. He has that power, but guess who he gives it to? You. You telling me you don't get to determine if you're going to make it into the kingdom or not? You're going to overcome by your testimony. Good questions this week. Very good questions. Hallelujah. Let's take another quick little break. We answered those questions. I'm actually out of questions, but we'll take another quick break and we'll see if anything else pops up. If not, we will conclude our fellowship for this evening. It's been good, man. Time be flying. You get up here, I say this stuff all the time, be like, man, ain't gonna be this broadcast probably ain't gonna be long. I can answer these questions in 2 minutes. Then you get up here and you 50 minutes in and you ain't done nothing yet. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. So let me find, y'all got to bear with me, y'all. I got to find, I'm not going to play that. That's a long, I'm going to play a 17-minute song, y'all. Y'all don't want me to do that. That's an ending of the, I will find it. It's, I want to hear this one. This is a short one, but I ain't heard it in a while. But we'll take a quick break, and I'll be back.
You know, the children know his name.
And he shall be called Advocate, Lamb of God, the Resurrection and the Life, Shepherd and Bishop of Souls, Judge, Lord of Lords, Man of Sorrows, Head of the Church, Master, Faithful and True Witness, Rock, High Priest, the Door, Living Water, Bread of Life, Rose of Sharon, Alpha and Omega, True Vine, Messiah, Teacher, Holy One, Mediator, the Beloved, Branch, Carpenter, Good Shepherd, Light of the World, Image of the Invisible God, the Word, Chief Cornerstone, Savior, Servant, Author and Finisher of our faith, the Almighty, Everlasting Father, Shiloh, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, I Am, King of Kings, Prince of Peace, Bridegroom, Only Begotten Son, Wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, Son of Man, Day Spring, the Amen. King of the Jews, Prophet, Redeemer, Anchor, Bright Morning Star, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, Jesus Christ.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Shalom, shalom. Welcome back. You are on Blog Talk Radio here with Elder Rufus from the Straightway Truth Ministry. I do appreciate you joining us this evening. I think we had a sweet fellowship here on If You Got Questions, the book has answers. For those of you saints that have submitted questions today and throughout the week for me, I do appreciate you. Thank you. I think we got some great levels of understanding. I also think that I left just enough for us to go back and read these whole chapters and these areas with context so that Yah can even do more in us when it comes to our level of understanding and how to be great, willful servants to our brethren. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Saints, we are out of questions, and that means that our broadcast is over. So I really enjoyed this 90 minutes with y'all. I enjoyed the fellowship. Again, I don't take it lightly. I appreciate every single person that sacrificed their time away from their families or even with their families and to come and to listen and to grow. And I pray that that's what took place today. I truly do. Again, to help me out, go to georgia@straightway.com. That is an email that you can send questions to, georgia@straightway.com. If you have questions, we will address them on the show, and we will go that direction. Now, if Yah just decides to do something different, he has the free will to do that. But the whole goal and the mandate for me is to make sure that we have some understanding as we go forward in this, especially with the Passover coming up. Hopefully everybody can dig down deep, get their hearts, get their minds right. Don't come to the Passover running dirty. Please don't. Don't do it. Don't curse yourself like that. Get your heart right, things in your life right. Get purged, get cleaned up so you can come there and then you can get some real true deliverance so you can really truly be set free. Hallelujah. But don't bring curses on yourself knowing that you're coming with dirty hands, dirty hearts, dirty minds. You ain't trying to live right. You ain't trying to do the things of the book. You ain't listening to the instructions and the guides that the pastors, elders, teachers, deacons, and assembly heads is giving you. If you just some individual recluse out there doing what you want to do, when you want to do it with no levels of accountability, I would advise you to stay away from the Passover this year. Hallelujah. Yeah, it got real deep in here real quick, didn't it, y'all? If you one of them type that you out there and you don't have the fellowship that you should and you're not sacrificing and moving and getting around true saints of the Most High, Yah, and you want to do what we call an individual light, that's what you really truly are. Yeah, you're connected to Straightway, but you're not plugged in. But you scheduled to come. I would advise you, unless you really, truly get your heart right, I would advise you not to even come. Well, Elder, the scriptures tell me I got to come before Yah 3 times a year. Well, the scriptures also tell you to not walk around here and being wicked and not to be doing devilish things, too. But you ain't listening to that. To not be a hellion. It tells you all this stuff. But you ain't listening to that. I don't think this is not the feast, y'all. I really don't. I don't think this is the feast to come before Yah with a hypocritical spirit, with a mocking mindset. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because one thing I know about this book, every single bit of it is true. And if something happened before in this book to our ancestors, it's going to happen again. The Bible's clear. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing. So we've seen people in this book, our family members. People forget Ananias and Sapphira. Did you forget they were Hebrews? Did you forget that? Huh? But I've seen people say, I'm giving all. And families be in cahoots. They be in agreement to lie to the Holy Spirit. You can lie to the Holy Spirit in many different ways. The main way you lie is with your wicked, evil lifestyle that is not committed to being converted. If you're one of them people, don't do it this feast. Don't do it. Come with the mindset that, yeah, I got errors and I'm going to get better in, and I'm going to clean this stuff up because I love you, Yah. And then with that mindset, once you get there, when we do the mass deliverance and then the deliverance time, then you can really get that spirit off you. You can break that soul tie with that spirit and get free. Because he who the Son has set free, you're going to be free indeed. Hallelujah. That's just my humble plea to you. That's me extending all my arms of love to you, not closing up my bowels of compassion, telling you this is not the year to be a hypocrite in the faith. I think your grace and your mercy in that area has run off. You're not, don't come and be a spot in our Feast of Charity this year. Please don't. Please don't. We all make mistakes and lack of understanding and errors. That's fine. Things are going to happen. But I'm talking about somebody willingly knowing they're coming and they don't love y'all because they're not willing to follow his instructions. They're not willing to live the way he is requiring us to live. They're not willing to sacrifice everything so that we can have that mindset that Brother Mike was talking about in Acts chapter 4. But we have nothing that we call or consider our own. It don't matter that my name on it. It ain't mine. It don't matter that I spent all the earnings I made to buy it. I bought it for Yah. I bought it for his people. It belongs to them. They can use it as they see fit. Hallelujah. All right. Love you guys dearly. I appreciate you coming out. I don't know exactly when I'll be out again, but as soon as I know, I will let you know. Sisters, forgive me, because I believe today on Sons of Jacob that I was on. I normally put it on both. I put on Sons of Jacob, and I put it on Sisters United, and I forgot to put it on Sisters United. I won't make that mistake again. But as soon as I know my date, I will let you guys know so that you can get your questions submitted to Georgia@straightway.com. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Love you guys dearly. I'll see you next time. Shalom, shalom.
Jesus, and you are destroyed in the name of Jesus.